You are listening to Midlife with Courage. This is where women in midlife come for inspiration, motivation, and sometimes a little education to help them flourish after 40. Don't forget to hit that subscribe or follow button. Now let's get started. Hello and welcome back to Midlife with Courage. I am Kim Benoit, your host, and I'm so happy to have you all here listening. I'm also very happy to have my guest here with me today. Her name is Dr. Sue McCready. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Kim. This is going to be fun.
This is going to be fun. Yes, we've been talking a little bit already, so we just know. So Dr. Sue, you are a medical doctor, and you're a mom and a wife and a midlife woman. So what else would you like the listeners to know about you?
And I'm also a coach for midlife women.
And coach. Sorry, forgot about that part.
I want to say that because I see you, I am you. That's what I want. Really well known is that I'm living through the same thing. I think 40s, 50s, and 60s is a completely wild ride. It's something new is popping up every day. And even today, like I'm having a lot of low back mobility. That's one of the things with changing hormones. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Can I stand up? I'm like a granny right now, like squatting down to pick something up. My husband's looking at me. I'm like, I got this.
Isn't it like
every
you have to,
source.
Do you think like when you think about getting down on the floor, you think, oh, wait, should I or shouldn't I? Because I don't know if I'm going to get back up.
I'm not sure if I'm going to get back up. I'm doing the yoga this morning to loosen it up. I'm pulling in all my support.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just a wild ride. You're just not really sure. Just feels like you're really on a teeter totter. That's how I've always explained health. For decades, I've explained that health is balance, and it's like we're on a teeter-totter, balancing back and forth. And when I see kids in practice, they're really imbalanced, like really tipped to one side. And that's why their body's like giving us symptoms. And I'm just like, wow, menopause is really tipping my balance, right? Like it's just really tipping my teeter-totter.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I love that.
Yeah.
So you are a pediatrician. Why did you decide to go into pediatrics?
Originally, Kim, I wanted to be a psychiatrist because I love human behavior. I love emotional healing. And psychiatrist means physician of the soul. And I love all things soulful. So yes. And then I went into medicine primarily because my doctor's like, you're a nurse. Primarily because my mom really inspired me. She's a nurse. She's now 91.
Okay.
And she was an emergency room nurse growing up. And that was like back in the day where you could take your kid to work, including to the emergency room.
Oh, my God.
She cracks me up. So I was like walking around with her, like to the trauma bays. And that really, I was like, Mom, I want to do what you're doing. This is really cool. I want to help people in this. And she was like, be a doctor. Be a doctor. Give the orders. Don't take them. I'm like, okay, that says a lot about you, Mom.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. She likes to give orders.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, she inspired me to go into medicine. And I thought I wanted to be a psychiatrist because I really love human behavior. But once I got to my psych rotation, I was like, huh, this is not what I imagined. My experience of it was medical management, like a bunch of people sitting around a table talking about a patient and deciding which medicine they're going to add or take away or increase or decrease. And I was like, in mind. So that was just my personal experience. So I've always loved kids too. So I just fell in love with my pediatric rotation and I fell in love with the patient and the experience of helping kids. I just love children. They make me a better person for sure. And so off my journey went on that. And I stayed on an extra year as the chief resident of pediatrics at my residency because I really love teaching. I love learning. I love teaching. And it was during that year where I really could see a bigger picture. I wasn't in such the grind. I was in more of admin and teaching. So I started seeing these kids. We'd send them home and then they come back and we send them home and they come back. And I started thinking like, I felt like we're just putting Band-Aid on something and then it would start bursting from another place. Kind of we put a Band-Aid from another place. So my curiosity just led me through, I was introduced to it, alternative medicine during medical school, actually.
Really?
Which is pretty amazing because med school for me was probably 30 years ago. I'm not going to do the math, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And there was alternative medicine rotation, and I actually wasn't interested in it. A friend was, and he asked me to do this rotation with him. And I said, sure, I'll do that. How about you do this pediatric neurosurgery rotation with me? Because I didn't want to be a neurosurgeon. However, the neurosurgeon working at our children's hospital, she's amazing. I thought she had amazing bedside manner, and I knew I could learn a lot from her. Meanwhile, he turns out to be a neurosurgeon. Like, he went into neurosurgery.
Oh my gosh.
And I went into alternative medicine.
They crossed.
It was like the universe like brought us and was like, okay, you take this route, you take that route.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So that's pretty cool. That was my initial exposure. So I had it seated during med school. Mm-hmm. And residency is just residency. It's a grind. Like, you can't really do anything else but that. Mm-hmm. But chief resident year, I was like, what about that? How can I learn more and find my way? So I just started following my passion and interest, and anything from Reiki to cranial sacral therapy to acupuncture. I just landed on nutritional medicine and started my own practice. Yeah.
I love that. I'm really surprised that was that long ago that they were offering that. Because I have this perception that medical doctors don't learn any of that stuff because of who. And I love that you did, though. My goodness.
I did. And it was a rotation. It wasn't in one of the medical institutions. Yeah. It was a private practice where they had started to practice it. And lucky me, and grateful for them, because I know it's not easy to have students in your environment, but like an extra.
You know? Yep.
A real extra. And so I'm really thankful, because that was an introduction. And I just saw this one physician. She was stabilizing someone through doing Reiki. Really? And I was like, what are you doing? She was like, Reiki, you want to learn? It's like, okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was my beginning.
I love that. It gives me hope.
I know. It gives me hope too.
Yeah. You did that and you were interested in that alternative medicine. And how did you bring that into your practice?
I started out with what I know, right? Which is a great place for all of us to start with what you know. I started with what I knew, which is primary pediatrics. And what happened was within my first 2 years of practice, I had my own baby. And after I had her, it just became crystal clear that if I'm going to spend any time away from this beautiful angel, I'm going to be practicing medicine exactly as my heart desires. And my heart didn't really desire to do primary care, though that's what I was trained in, like anticipatory guidance and all of that.
Sure.
And so I just shifted to start practicing what I know. And I was doing cranial sacral therapy in the office. I have this one patient. And he's 25 years old now. I just recently reconnected with his mom, and I used to do cranial sacral therapy with him in the office. Gosh. Nobody was too fond of acupuncture, so that didn't go too far.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I think the needles were like, this is not going down, doctor. So I'm out.
You're putting a needle in me? No.
Yeah. So I would say that how it happened was evolution, practice, baby steps, which I think is what we all get to do. Like, you start with what you know, you take a baby step forward. Right? See what works. And then over time, I just developed my system, a framework that works for kids. And it doesn't work for every child, but it works for thousands of kids that I've helped. And that's really what I want to pass on. I was just meeting with a colleague yesterday, and I was like, I just want to pass this on to you. You get to know that. It's super simple. She's like, okay, I'll take the flag from here. Yeah.
So
that's the evolution, just baby steps of implementing and seeing what works. Right. And I feel like that's what life is.
Yeah.
It feels scary. Like, it definitely felt scary because nobody was doing it. I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have anyone was like, this is how you do it with kids, Sue.
Sure.
It was more like, go attend this conference that you think is interesting. And then I would sit through it and be like, how can I apply this for kids?
Sure.
So I was always in the lens of all those things. Like, how do I apply this for kids? How do I apply this for kids? Because kids weren't a focus. There was no board certification in holistic anything. Figuring it out.
So
it's a fun, courageous journey of just following your heart.
Yeah.
And really showing up to serve and being transparent and honest. Like, I always say, I don't know everything. Even now, I feel like I know less than I ever did now. I was just with a bunch of colleagues last night. I'm like, I don't know any of this. And somehow I'm still able to help kids. You know?
The more we know, the more we need to know.
Yeah. The more you know. I was like, what is going on here? Yeah. Let's just bring it back to the basics.
Yeah.
So that's what I love doing with women too. I love just like when you have a complex problem, that's what I'm really good at. It's like when you have this whole muckamoo mess, let's call that midlife, whatever that is for you, and you change your perspective on it. Like you see it through a framework. If you can see it through a framework, so it doesn't become like, this is me. Oh no, this is a pattern. See the pattern, right? And then how do we shift the pattern? How do we change it? Do we change our focus? Do we change the meaning we attach to it? Do we change the story that we're telling ourselves? Do we release a limiting belief around something? Mm-hmm. Do we have a crazy rule that makes it really hard to be happy right now, right? If I had a rule, Kim, that like my body can't hurt in order for it to be happy, I'm going to be struggling every day right now. Because like I have low back issues. My low back is on the move. I'm like, stabilize, stay still. What is going on? Just really loosening up the rules that we have, I think, can bring a lot of freedom and happiness.
For sure. I love that take on it too. You mentioned courage before. And I like to ask my guests, what's a time when they felt the most courageous? Mm-hmm. So do you have a time in your life, maybe now, maybe midlife, maybe earlier, where you felt very courageous or you showed courage?
Wow. So I'm teary eyed. If you're listening to this and can't see, like the first thing I went to was my multiple miscarriages, my journey to become a mom. Because like when you want something so much and then you're like, nope, that didn't work. And then you try something else. You're like, nope, that didn't stick. And then you try again. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm just losing these babies. They're just slipping through my fingers.
Oh yeah.
And so I think that required a lot of courage to continue to hold the vision of what I wanted, because other people start coming in with a vision. They're like, what about adopting? And there's nothing wrong with adopting. Like I have a sister who's adopted and it's a beautiful, she's on the chosen one. And I'm like, you are the chosen one. And there, but for me, that wasn't my vision. That wasn't my vision. So I think it takes a lot of courage to hold a vision when you're apparently failing in the moment.
Yeah, for sure.
When you don't have any proof that vision's going to come to fruition.
Yeah.
I think that takes a lot of courage.
Yeah. Thank you for that. And I'm sorry that you had miscarriages. That breaks my heart.
Yeah. I learned much though through that process, Kim. And I really feel that all of these, like the worst day of our life actually turns out to be the best day. And the best day for me is learning in the process of biochemically what's happening for me is a methylation issue. And so once I learned about that and really supported that, even in my dumbed down way, because I didn't know all the things back then, and I still don't know all the things. And also though, I was able to learn about this process of methylation and how important it is, not only for bringing babies into the world and not having multiple miscarriages, because no doctor knew that at the time. I've been able to support thousands of kids with methylation issues.
Oh,
right?
Sure. Yeah.
So I've been able to turn that into a real gift, which I think is the truth of what all our challenges are, right? They're really opportunities to learn, to grow, and then to turn around and give that gift of knowledge or just empathy to somebody else who's going through that process.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Ladies, I am so excited about my new venture in this podcast. I'm calling it Midlife with Courage Unfiltered. You are going to get me, Kim Benoy, once or twice a month. I'm going to be getting real with you about the conversations that I have with my guests, and I'm going a little bit deeper. I'm going to bring my own personal experiences into it. I'm going to share what I've got going on in the hopes that you will share right back with me. This is not going to be me just talking in front of the microphone. I want your input. I want your participation. If you go to my show notes at the end of this episode, you'll see a support the show. That is where you can subscribe to Midlife with Courage Unfiltered. For only $5 a month, you're going to get this extra bonus content once, twice a month, and we're going to talk about what's really happening in midlife. I'm going to share my experiences. I'm going to get real. I'll probably get a little vulnerable. I'll be sharing things I don't normally share. So please subscribe so that you can get in on the founding members of this new Midlife with Courage Unfiltered. I'll see you there. Yeah. Let's pivot a little bit here.
Okay.
I read a statement here in your information that twice a day you have a statement that you tell yourself. Do you still do that?
Yeah, I just recently stopped, as in like last week.
Oh my gosh.
But yes, I would say every morning I create an accountability group and we have a statement that we would say twice a day, like kind of check in the morning and check out at the end of the day. And we state who I am. And my end statement is, I am an authentic, confident, courageous woman. I am an authentic, confident, courageous woman. And when I first started saying that, it was funny because there's like words that I would stumble over. You know what I mean? Like it was almost hard to stay. And now I'm like, I'm an authentic, confident, courageous woman. And so I really do believe in affirmations. I think you do have to feel them. There needs to be emotion with it. You can't just be like all in your head. And I think that's true. I think a lot of people look at me and think that I am confident and courageous. And I would say I can see how they think that because I have the thing like on the outside. They're like, how can you not be confident? You have this, you've done this. I get that. And also, I think the authentic piece is probably the largest piece for me of really continuing to authentically live my life, like to not put on masks and hide who I truly am. Yeah. And I think that's a big part of midlife because we get to this point and we're like, what's the point anymore? Like, why am I going to pretend I'm this bad or hide my feelings or shove it down or instead of really authentically expressing myself. Mm-hmm. And it's been a journey and it continues to be a journey. And that's what I love it because your authenticity, I really feel like midlife is just coming back to who you were in the very beginning, right? Before we learned to be loved in a certain way. Like we have all of these things that we did in order to make sure that we could survive and be loved in our world. And we learn from society and from friends and family and everywhere to like, maybe we should not say that part or maybe we should hide that part or I'm not going to be too loud. And then just doing the work of taking all those things away, I should say lovingly releasing all of those things so that you can, just be who you are.
Yeah. I think of it as, since you're a pediatrician, you probably appreciate this, but going back to how we were as kids before all that stuff came in that told us we were supposed to do this and that and the other.
I agree. I actually had a smile when I realized I'm coaching midlife women to nurture their inner child. And I'm a pediatrician. So I'm basically taking care of the child inside the woman.
I just got goosebumps. That's so cool.
That's so cool.
That is. I love that.
I love that too. I'm like, wow, this is another type of pediatrician.
For sure. For the child inside of you. Oh my gosh.
The child inside the woman. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Because we've just put so many layers on her. We've told her to shut up and you're stupid and why aren't you this? Don't do that. And I must be bad because that happened to me and all these just horrible things, right? And it makes sense as to why we put on masks and all of that. What I share with my daughters still every day, I was like, the most authentic you can be, even though it's so vulnerable to be authentic, is really what magnetizes other people towards you. And if you're magnetizing people towards you that authentically know who you are, it's a genuine relationship and it feels and fulfills you and it feels and fulfills the other person too. Sure. Versus trying to be something we're not, it may look like we're fitting in, but there's a huge disconnect primarily from yourself. Like you're not honoring who you are in order to fit in with something else, right?
Yeah.
And so I feel like women in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, they're like, I'm done. I'm done trying to contort myself in this way or do this work that I don't want to do or be in this relationship that I don't want to be in anymore. Or there's so many evolutions, like a real rebirth, I feel like.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it too. Yeah. I've been paying more attention to how I feel about things. If a relationship or a situation doesn't feel right, if I can feel it in my body. Okay, am I being my real self? Am I really connecting?
I love that.
Yeah. And
that's such a great reminder. Because like when you you can feel the difference. Like I was just with a colleague last night. It was just so fun. We were lighting each other up. We were saying all the silly things. Like there wasn't any barrier between us. Like I authentically love exactly who she is. And she authentically loves exactly who I am. It doesn't matter. Versus, yeah, you can feel it when you're in a group or with another person and you start hiding things. Why are you hiding that part of yourself? Because it makes sense why we do that. We do that because we value connection and we think that we'll be rejected if we share that part of ourselves. Mm-hmm. That's a story that we're telling ourselves. Yeah. But it may not be real. Yeah. It may not. It may be actually the thing that they lean in and then they're actually share something about themselves.
Yeah.
So it's interesting game.
Yeah. It goes back and forth.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. So you've mentioned coaching a couple times and I love that you're doing that too. And it sounds like you guide women through transformation using science-backed tools and soul deep support. Tell us about that. What does that mean?
I like the science and the soul, right? So I use things that have been grounded in science, meditation, and ways to calm the nervous system, really. And also the framework of the subconscious, right? So that we can't just change a problem that we're experiencing with the same level of consciousness, if that makes sense. Like if you're having a problem, you're not able to solve it from the same thinking mind that you're creating the problem from. So a lot of what I do is help women get into their subconscious, the part that's below the surface, the part of the mind that has the thoughts, the beliefs, the rules, sometimes the emotions too, that haven't bubbled up to the surface yet. But we know that the vast majority of our habits, our behaviors, and therefore our results are actually driven from the subconscious, not the conscious.
Yeah.
And so having ways to get into this subconscious, and you can do it all sorts of different ways, right? My way that I think is so fun to do with women is through tarot numerology, which I think a lot of people are like, oh, like, how does that work?
I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to talk about that.
I think that's like the soul part to me. You can't prove it. All you can do is experience it. It's like love. Like you can't prove I love someone. You can just experience that this is what love is. The way I explain it is tarot is a deck of playing cards back from like the 1400s or 1500s, like way back when. They used to use it like we use the 52-card deck of cards. And along the way, they have images on them, though. Unlike our 52-card playing deck, they have archetypes, pictures that are displaying traditionally a lot of Judeo-Christian imagery. But now you can get tarot cards. There's thousands upon thousands of decks of tarot cards. If you like animals, you can get animal tarot cards. Like, yeah. So it's really to represent a visual picture of an archetype, which is a pattern of behavior and thought. So you can think of archetypes like a lot of people know personality, like disc profile personality, or we have the Enneagram, right? We have ways of categorizing people through patterns of behavior. So we can use the tarot deck similarly like that. I think of it like an inkblot test, like a psychologist uses an inkblot, like that. Stare at the inkblot. What do you see, Sue? But I'm like, I see a butterfly. But someone else puts that in. See the bird. I don't know. But different thing. And the thought is that you can really unlock or tap into your subconscious. And so I do this at the group level. We actually meet. I do group coaching. And at the top of the month, we talk about the numerology. So numerology is the study of numbers and it's a pattern language. It's something that you can tap into. Like 2026 is 2 + 2 + 6 is 10 and 1 + 0 = 1. So we're in a 1 energy year, or in the tarot, we're in a 10, like the 10 is the wheel of fortune. And so you can just see patterns and evolutions of how that happens. So I'm always into like helping women see the pattern, and including like the numerology pattern that we're in right now to make sense of it. I think of it as knowing your season. Yes, I could go out in my bikini in the middle of winter, but it may be uncomfy. So that if I knew, oh, it's summer, so this is when I wear the bikini, then it's okay. I'm moving with the flow. That's how I think of it. Okay. So I use tarot numerology to access the subconscious and also to allow women to see a pattern that they can move in the flow of. I also do something fun called Tarot Numerology Hour.
Okay.
Where we all just get together and you can just, you think of it as like, we're bringing in this tool, tarot numerology, we're bringing in me, the guide, and then all the women who show up. And you can sit there and listen and just be like, wow, this is weird. Or this is really fun.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. And bring your questions, bring your insights. But when one woman, it's really cool. Like you hold up a card and people will see all sorts of different things.
Yeah.
And it's really what's able to come to their, from their subconscious to their conscious. And so you can use it as a way to answer questions, get insights on a challenge or a problem. And it's just a beautiful, just a really beautiful, fun tool. Yeah. So that's one of my latest, okay, this is authentically me. I've been using this tool for years and I'm bringing it now to the forefront. And what's amazing is people are like, oh my God, I want to come. That sounds like so much fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, it magnetizes people because it's just like a fun tool. Bring your cup of tea and let's be with the tarot for an hour and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I love them. It's funny how you'll draw one card and there can be 10 people watching or listening and it can resonate with each of them differently. Like you said, like it's that message that comes through, or the pattern, like you said. I have to start thinking about them differently because I had a business coach this past year and she would do that every once in a while. And it was spot on, like the things that she would pull. And I'm like, oh yeah, it just helped me know that I was either on the right path or maybe I need to like maybe change a little bit or do something or just pay more attention to it. But
it helps me shift my perspective, open up to new perspective.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm doing it in a group. Right. Because you're by yourself, like you're still, you can access new parts, which I think is great. You can also get stuck in saying the same message with the same card. You're like, oh, this card means that. So you're like, here at the card. What else do you see? But when you're with women, I've looked at a card hundreds of times and then a woman has seen something and I'm like, I never saw that in the card. Yeah. How could I have looked at this card thousands of times? Maybe not thousands, but hundreds of times and been like, I never saw that.
Yeah.
I find that totally amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds amazing. Very cool. So I like that you have said you have messy, beautiful moments of rediscovering who you are. I love messy, beautiful because it's such a great description of this time of our life.
Yeah.
With all the stuff that we have to deal with, throwing the perimenopause and menopause on top of it. Where do you see yourself like going forward? What does your journey look like, do you think? Or are you just following it?
When you said messy, beautiful moment, I went to a moment with my dad who just recently passed. And it was about 6 months before his death. And it was pretty obvious, like he's marching on the path. And we were actually cleaning out his closet of clothes. Mm-hmm. And he got really emotional when we got to the ties. The whole thing was emotional. But when we got to the ties, the very end part, he used to be like, Susan, I'm about to get sick. I was like, Dad, do you mean you're going to cry? And he would start crying. But he would always say, Susan, I'm about to get sick. You're about to cry, Dad. He was in his wheelchair and I like got down beside him. And it was a messy, beautiful moment because at that same day in my business, after putting a lot of time, effort, energy, love into an offering that probably took me 6 to 9 months to build and went through the whole launch process. And the cart was closing that day. Like it was done and there were zero sales.
Mm.
And I was like, wow, this is really painful. Really not feeling good. And of course, my dad has no knowledge of any of that. He has no idea that's happening because they're in another state. So I was visiting and helping with the move out process. And I went in and I knelt beside him and he just poured over me. It was like he was like channeling spirit. Like he was just praying over me and business and people that I help and help Susan help more people. And all this stuff, I'm like, where's this coming from? How does he even know that? So to me, that's like messy. Wow. This is a lesson I'm learning right now.
Yeah.
And then beautiful, as in so intimate, real, raw. You can't make this stuff up. And you would say two really conflicting things happening at the same time, where you're like, that was really disappointing. And then also perspective giving. Does it even really matter? Because you have this beautiful moment with your dad and you're never going to get this again. And how beautifully timed it all is. And I feel like that to me is like how I'm moving forward. Just like flex and flow. Like, how am I moving forward every day? I am just flexing and flowing, Kim. Like, how can I just flex and flow between these seemingly different contrast, which is really the energy of this year in terms of tarot speak. It's how do you stay on top of a spinning top when things are going great, and then also things are probably not feeling so great, and how do you continue to win? To me, I feel I continue to win as long as I'm flexing and flowing. I'm adaptable, right? Like, I'm also maintaining the vision of what I want, even though I'm seemingly not getting the results yet. Maybe not getting the results yet that I want. And when I do win, I also am like, okay, this is a moment. I'm grateful for this moment. Thank you, God, for this moment. And also, I know that can change in the next heartbeat.
Yes, we do. I know that too.
Yes. So that's how I'm moving forward, flexing and flowing.
I love it. So Dr. Sue, if people are interested in working with you, how would they find you? Tell us more about that. Maybe tell us a little bit. You said you do group coaching too. Maybe first tell us a little bit about what you're doing and then where people can find you.
Okay. My favorite offering is the Soulful Membership, which is basically group coaching. Mm-hmm. And so a community offline, off social media, along with rituals, which are really mini workshops or self-development tools you can do on your own. So like, I'm coaching you, but you're going through it on your own, a little workshop format. So that is my favorite because I love groups. And I think women hold their wisdom. And when they share their wisdom, we all heal. To me, that is soulful medicine. It's just, I don't pretend that I have the answers. Like, I sit back many times and I'm like, take it away, girls. You got this. Keep going. And it's such an honor for me to be able to hold that container. Like, I don't have to pretend that I know all the answers. I don't know all the answers.
Yes.
But can I lovingly hold a container for all of us and guide us through different frameworks so we can change our perspective and procedure moving forward? Absolutely, 100%. So that's my favorite by far.
I can tell.
Membership. And I also do one-on-one coaching because some women are just like, I'm not ready for a group. I just want time with you, which I love and honor as well. And then lastly, I also write. I have a blog currently on Substack, and it's free or paid. There's paid option too. It's my favorite. It's medicine for me. And then hopefully it conveys to medicine for other people. But I hear from people all the time, and Restack and reshares, and that it's helping. So that's my soulful medicine for me, is writing. So I write about my life. I write about how I shifted my perspective. I write about hard moments and beautiful moments, things I learned about with dad going through the end of life process. Mm-hmm. I do for my own body, right? Mm-hmm. Just all just living midlife and how I'm going through it.
Yeah. It's like when I do this podcast, the listeners will hear something that, oh yeah, that happens to me too. And you're writing that way. And like, I'm sure people can resonate with it and feel like they're not alone in all this.
And I feel that way too, because like, I was talking to a midwife woman yesterday, a colleague, she reached out and I was so grateful she shared, but she said, I feel lonely. I feel really lonely. Mm-hmm. Like, the kids are older now. They don't really need me. I was like, yeah, I get that. Thank you so much for sharing that with me. Let's go for a walk, and inviting her into the community. Because I think that's the thing, is that I love that feeling of when someone shares something and then the other person says, yeah, me too. And then I'm just like, that's medicine. That's medicine to know that we're not in this alone, that we don't have to do this together. And it's also shame wants you to hide out. It wants you to keep that all tucked in, right? It wants you to carry it all by yourself. And shame just dissipates in that. Like, love is what flows. And love is just like, we're here. I feel that too. You're not a bad person. And yeah, how can we support? Let's move forward. Right. It's just beautiful. It's a beautiful witness. I'm really grateful God put my pediatric path into, yeah, helping women heal their inner child. It's just beautiful.
I love that so much. And tell us where they can find you.
The best place to find me is on my website, drsuemccready.com.
Okay. Yeah. We'll put a link to that in the show notes so they can find you easier.
Yeah. And there's a fun quiz. I think that's a free offering. Probably my favorite free offering is a fun quiz.
Okay.
Where you can discover your midlife personality type.
Okay.
So if you're a visionary mama, an inspirational mama, a giver mama, or a detail mama, my guess for you, Kim, is a giver mama. I'm guessing you're a giver mama.
I'd say that probably. I'll have to take the quiz though to find out for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Visionaries are like the Beyoncés of the world. They're like, see the vision, get the vision done, get out of my way.
Okay.
Their upside is they're just, yeah, they're leader. They're those extroverted leaders that everyone follows. And we're just like, how are you so confident? Let me be like you.
Yeah.
Their downfall is relationships. So we see a lot of those in celebrities. They're big personalities and they have challenging relationships sometimes.
Sure.
The inspirational mama is the glass is always half full. She's the sunshine. She's the sparkle. She's we got this. The downfall of hers is really like everything shiny and sparkly. So she can get super distracted. Distractibility is high.
Sure.
The giver mama is the mama we all love. She's the mama of all mama. She just takes you into arms and says, it's going to all be okay.
So,
So listen for hours. You know, she's so empathetic, great listener. And the downfall is boundaries. Like sometimes people just step all over her.
Listeners, I am touching my nose like bingo.
And then the last is the detail mama. The detail mama is the spreadsheet maker. You know her. She dots her I's. She crosses her T's. She's keeping us all like on track. I say the divine is in the details. I surround myself. My business partner is a detail mama. Thank goodness. So yeah, the downfall of the detail mama is life can get a little stale and boring because it's so routine. It's so structured. So many rules, right? Get a little dry. But yeah, I mostly work with giver mamas and some inspirational detail. And yeah, and we all have all of them in us. But we just gravitate a little bit more towards others. And I can be wrong. I can totally be wrong. Like, I think that's funny, too. I say, oh, I think you're a giver mom. They take the quiz and they're like, I'm this. And I'm like, oh,
oops.
So it's also like what we're showing on the outside. Yeah. But a lot of us are like nurturers and being in your like your career is dead giveaway. Like you spent your life giving, like you're as a nurse. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And then just being with you for this hour. Thank you. And it's just, oh, she's a giver mama.
Aww,
yeah.
Thank you. Oh, that makes me feel good.
Good.
So you're a giver too.
You should.
So, Dr. Sue, before we wrap this up, which I don't want to do because we could just keep going, but we do have to end at some point. Is there any one last little piece of advice, or maybe there's a woman out there listening who thinks maybe she should reach out. What would you tell them, or what advice would you give?
Of course, reach out. I'm always here. And you think, and I am actually answering the emails. Like, I don't have some huge team.
It's you.
It's me. So absolutely, if any of this resonated, just reach out, take the quiz, send me an email. But probably the thing that I would leave you with that I think has been really helpful for a lot of women that I work with, whatever situation you're going through or challenging situation, like maybe something's challenging, let's just say with one of your children, they're going through a hard situation, right? And you're sitting there and having this intimate conversation and you're like, gosh, I don't even know what to say next. I'm not even sure what to do. Ask yourself internally, what would love do? What would love say? Because inherently, that's who we are. We are inherently love. And we get distracted and pushed and pulled in all these different directions. But if we just return to that center and ground ourselves and ask ourselves, like, what would love do? I find that is a really grounding, easy question you can ask yourself. And questions change how you think. Questions change how you think. Every thought comes from a question you just answered. So when you change your thought, you shift your perspective and change your feeling and then change your behavior and then change your result. So it's a practice because we're not always, we're go-getters. We're like moving too fast. But if you're in a challenging situation or you just don't know what to do, regardless if it's in your relationships, your job or your health, you're just like, what would love do? Sometimes love would just rest. Sometimes love would pick up the phone and have the connected conversation. Love would set down a boundary of this is okay, this is not okay. So love does all sorts of different things.
Yeah.
And you'll know when you ask, what would love do?
Yeah. I think we need that question a lot lately with a lot of different situations. So
I agree.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim.
This has been amazing. Thank you so much for spending this time with me today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been super fun.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you for listening to Midlife with Courage. If you liked what you heard, I would love it if you would leave a review. Or even better, send a link of this episode to a friend. Until next time, take care of your beautiful self.